sort of planning so that in very specific areas the load drops. And the reason for that is, this is what our operators are trained to do, is to manage emergencies, is that if you don't do that, you threaten the entire grid. The voltage stability of the entire grid can go down, and that's happened, as we know, in other parts of the country, and that's, of course, a catastrophe. So the worst-case scenario is that operators will manage it locally to make sure it does not spread to a statewide problem.
Thank you. And the next question for Angelina Galateva. When the lights go out, people get upset. What type of coordinated public education campaign is needed to alert the public that there could be real problems if people do not conserve energy?
I'll have to say that the ISO is very much proactive in terms of outreach and education. Our role would be the day ahead to notify the utilities and the relevant agencies if we're expecting a peak and what the weather conditions are going to be and what we can tell in our best judgment, and make sure that the public announcements do go out, that the public is informed, that anybody who is aware of their air conditioner running higher actually lowers it a little bit, that anybody that can shed load sheds, and that would be demand-side management, with especially the larger customers, which has proven to be extremely effective, that the 2020 campaign runs, which is Flex Your Power, and that the customers and the users are aware that their energy choices during hot summer days on peak are going to have an influence on the grid. And as we know, Californians have previously stepped up to the plate, and we're confident that with a sustained education campaign, we can maybe make up those 1,000 megawatts that Richard referred to.
Thank you. And the last question for Mr. Mullen, just a concise answer, is KPCC yesterday wrote an article entitled Energy Officials Scramble for Backup Power Supply in Wake of San Onofre Nuclear Plant Shutdown. So my question is, what major obstacles are there to getting Huntington Beach Power Plant online?
The meeting that I referred to just a moment ago that's going on right now is aimed at clarifying the fact that the Huntington Beach plants already had their air quality permits, to make sure that the fact they've been offline for a while does not trigger a renewal of the permit process. So the biggest problem would be one, actually a legal issue, whether or not the current permits are considered to be sufficient by all the authorities that have some say-so over it.
Sounds important. Thank you very much.
Senator Alquist, are there witnesses in support of the nominations? What's that? Children are allowed to testify. There are witnesses in opposition? Well, thank you. You have an important job. You know, and it's to prevent harm, right? To keep things moving. It's one of those jobs where people sort of take for granted what you and the agency do. We know that it's not to be taken for granted, and that you often, especially in times of crisis, have some real decisions to make. And I think you're all more than qualified, and appreciate your willingness to serve. And again, we will await that information about, just so we can see exactly how the numbers add up, what's insurance, what isn't, and what the plan is for going into the summer. Moved by Senator Alquist, please call the roll.
Senators Alquist?
Aye.
Alquist, aye. De Leon?
Aye.
De Leon, aye. Fuller?
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Dutton?
Aye.
Dutton, aye. Steinberg?
Aye.
Steinberg, aye.
Very good. I think that's 5-0. So congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Moved to the floor. Appreciate it. Very, very good. We have a little more business left. Senators, are there any concerns, or do you want to separate any of the other items? We have file item 1, and then items 4 through 10. They're good? All right, we'll take a motion again by Senator Alquist without objection. We'll substitute the unanimous roll call on those items. Those pass 5-0. That's the end of our regular session. We do have a very brief executive session.